Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
And this morning we have got Josiah Tuilamalii on the line. Kia ora, Josiah. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Hey,
nice to speak to you.
It's awesome to speak to you. I'm really pleased we could get you on the show today. For context for people listening at home, we're going to have a bit of a chat about the Dawn Raids apology, which you were very instrumental in, I guess, instigating the petition that sort of led to what we saw on Sunday. Can you tell us a little bit about why you felt it was necessary at this time that we have an apology for the Dawn Raids?
Yes, of course. It's a lovely thing for you to say, and all I would add is that it was kind of off the back of the Polynesian Panther Claw calling for an apology in February. And when they called for the apology, then a number of us started a letter campaign to encourage others to write to Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern and others to encourage them to be part of the apology. And then a little bit later, we wrote the petition because we were hoping that all of Parliament, like all the different parties, would speak in support. And I guess the reason that we did it is we felt like the deep legacy of pain and how many of our elders feel about the time has an opportunity to be addressed while many are still living. Mm. And unfortunately, we've lost so many, but we had an opportunity, and with the largest number of Pacific MPs in Parliament and the largest number of Pacific ministers ever, there was a good chance that they would understand the weight of the moment. Mm. And they did.
Yes, and it was a very incredible afternoon on Sunday. Even if you weren't in the room, but just watching what was happening, you could really feel what that moment meant to a lot of people in that space, and actually around the world as well, because what happened in the Dawn Raids has really, you know, resonated internationally. I wanted to know what your initial response was to what actually happened on Sunday. Did you feel like it was a cathartic moment? What was the sort of sentiment from the communities?
Well, being in the room, there was so many beautiful reactions to what was happening. It was hard not to feel deeply moved. I cried. Many people cried. often and throughout the whole 3.5 hours. But one of the moments when Prime Minister was coming in was led in and welcomed by a group of Niuean young people, and then these Cook Island mamas sung as she entered the room with her team, and then she went and sat on this seat, and then a stylistic act of seeking of forgiveness, where the ia tonga, the special woven fine mat, was placed over her by her cabinet colleagues who are Pacific. And then we had a number of very significant Pacific leaders accept that gesture and lift that off her. I mean, the people who did that couldn't be more significant in New Zealand and Pacific history, including one of the descendants of the Mau. So when New Zealand was the colonial administrator of Samoa, committed some very significant atrocities, including opening fire on peaceful protesters in 1929, including exiling leaders, including a targeted suppression campaign of people's political and social voice. And here was one of the descendants of those leaders who came and lifted that. We also had Whale Mai Lasā, who went to the Privy Council and beat the New Zealand government in the 1980s, saying that because she was from Samoa, she was a New Zealand citizen. And then we had a Dawn Raids victim. Like, I mean, the people who were lifting that off, and that's just one moment of the so many moments, you couldn't help but feel wow. And the audience would sing in response, led by different people who just would stand up and sing in support of different, as a and then none of that was planned. That was just us responding in love.
Mm. It's quite an incredible part of history that we've seen just happen on Sunday. It's also been spoken about as the start of something. So, you know, this is not necessarily the end of a chapter. It's perhaps the start of a new one in many ways. We saw some gestures from the government in terms of scholarships for Pacific communities and things like this, which have from some people been criticised as perhaps being simply gestural, and in others saying that this is hopefully just the start of an ongoing step towards some more support for Pacific communities. There was also a lot of talk about immigration being a big issue in this context as well. What do you think we need to see next from the government coming out of this very significant moment? What would you like to see as some of the first actions taken by the government with this in mind?
Yes, there is lots of opportunities. And I guess one thing I'm keen, and for some people, the moment still hasn't quite finished. There's going to be a debate on Tuesday next week at Parliament where all the parties speak in about how they feel and how it's going. So I guess on one part of me is kind of like, for some in our community, this is still a kind of just a moment of processing and kind of just trying to be in the feeling of the acknowledgement that this is seen and believed and being owned is wrong. But in terms of what might come after that, I think there's a big opportunity for a political commitment to not have Pacific politics as such a political football. And that would be more important and more meaningful than any particular amount of money or any particular different piece of... I guess like a lot of communities, when things came up about us in the 2020 elections, around different members' relationships to Pacific communities, it can start to feel like maybe we're not really fully seen and fully understood, and getting made small and made... to some, it felt like we were a commodity in some of the debate that had gone on. Mm-hmm. Those things going away would be huge. And then, like this moment, where Pacific communities came together and asked and said, this would really help. And then the actions of humility and listening, that in itself would be a huge... I mean, yes, 100%, it would be wonderful to see more action around pathways to residency and these other things, but I think those big broad things would really help just enable more opportunity for more people to speak and then more good to come.
We've heard quite a bit of conversation about the relationship that the Dawn Raids has had on the Pacific communities and the police in Aotearoa, and this is something that's, I think, probably in the last 4 or 5 years we've seen quite focused on in the media, the conversation around how police treat tangata whenua as well as Pacific communities. This is an ongoing issue here. Do you think this is a moment where this should be addressed as well? This feels like perhaps an opportunity where we could be having some structural conversations.
I do. And this is not a criticism, but it did interest me that the police were outside at the apology and some very prominent... I don't know if I was just in the moment when we were waiting in the line to go in, if I was just feeling... responding to it too much, but the placing of the tasers on the police hips rather than, you know, further down on their legs or something, made that seem a little... on a higher than their hips, on this sort of like waist area, seemed a little bit more, I don't know, maybe they've changed where they sit, but I felt that felt a bit strange. And I guess part of me was also like, there was a missed opportunity to have the Māori wardens as people who might have been there to help hold the space. I was part of the petition group who advocated about ending the armed response trials because there was no consultation with the communities that they were going into. And then later we found out that they hadn't had the cultural training that we were told they had, let alone the cultural breakdowns of who were those officers were not the communities that they were driving around and pulling over, which in the context of what we just had the apology for, I really, really hope with the increase in reporting on gun violence and things that we find another way. Like, I think it's just super easy to go to full arming, but that doesn't actually deal with the underlying hurt. And that's one thing that I hope all of our country can take a moment to consider, how for a lot of the people in our community, this apology and the way it was done and then the space was more meaningful in mental health and well-being support than some of the other initiatives and interventions we have. And if that's the kind of, if that's what will make the difference, then I guess, are we just thinking too much about services sometimes, and are we thinking too much about, you know, further strengthening things rather than actually trying an Indigenous approach, like that's it's truly something that makes people feel connected and feel better. Like, I guess big community is what I'm interested in us thinking about, rather than big other things like big police and big government and a big community. And that doesn't mean the government doesn't have a role, but just that we keep those things connected and also just in the bits that we need them in.
I totally understand that. I wanted to ask you just again, before we let you go, Josiah, about this debate in Parliament, because it is quite a significant thing, it feels, in terms of this political conversation. And as you mentioned, you know, we saw a lot of rhetoric in the last election that felt maybe not necessarily too far away from the kind of rhetoric, different language, but sort of same sentiments that we were seeing in the 70s as well. There's still a lot of underlying racism here. What are you expecting might come out of this parliamentary debate about the apology? What do you think is going to be some of the things we see, or what are you hoping might be some of the things we see?
I'm really hoping one thing is that we hear all the parties reflect on that time, and that they all say out loud that it was wrong. Now, I say that because we still don't yet know what the ACT party thinks, which is an interesting situation where all the other parties, at least one person, and including their leader, have said that the door raids were wrong. So I'm just like, that's just a general thing I'm interested in. And then together, like, how they might use the space to also reflect on the relationships that we have nationally with specific people, and how, like, this was that, and that time was a huge breach of trust, which has had intergenerational impact. And then, what kinds of things can be done to help set things on a better path? I mean, one of them that I would be interested to hear any of the parties reflect on would be the Western Samoa Act, which is arguably one of our most racist laws, where Whale Mai Le Sa, who helped lift the Iatonga off the Prime Minister, she went to the Privy Council and beat the government, finding that she, as a Samoan citizen, was a New Zealand citizen because of when New Zealand was the colonial administrator of Samoa. And here in 2021, it's kind of like, well, at least 100,000 Samoans potentially lost their citizenship overnight because the government didn't want to have that. And we've also got these special relationships with Cook Islands, Niue, and Tokelau is still a dependent territory. I prefer to use the word colony. But that's the kind of situation we're in. And so with these past and other past injustices, and then in terms of our current Pacific relationships, which are way more than a neighbourhood because we're in constitutional integration with them, it's kind of like we've got to know more about the family that we're part of, and also have more support for connecting what goes on there, and New Zealand understanding our Aotearoa responsibilities. And so I'd be interested to hear if they can talk about that, and even if they can say something like, we've got to move to not so foreign affairs, because Pacific peoples are corridor walkers. We travel through Aotearoa and then into the Pacific and back, and that's actually kind of what the realism is of the Cook Islands, Niue and Tokelau, who are all New Zealand citizens, New Zealand passports, and MFAT helps look after what their country's interests are around the world because of our Well, because back in the 1900s, New Zealand wanted an empire.
Yeah.
So I guess unpicking those things, and if they could get to all of that, I don't know if they're going to be able to, and I guess it'll be like 10 minutes each, but at least hinting at, you know, we've got
yeah.
a sense of this domestic change and we want to see it roll out. And now let's deepen that and across the region as well, which is about whanaungatanga and that deep interconnection across the Pacific. Mm.
Well, Josiah, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. Josiah Tuolamalii, thank you very much. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day, and we'll be definitely watching what happens in Parliament with great interest. So, kia ora, thanks for speaking with us.
Oh, my privilege. And can I just say, Bronwyn Haywood is one of the best mentors I have in my life.
Fantastic. Cheers. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
Thank you.